I'm your host, Sanne Wending, and welcome to Leadership in Manufacturing podcast. We got a new name. So empowering leadership excellence in the electronics industry. I want to introduce today's guest, Eric Gleason. He is a distribution sales manager at EBM Pabst with extensive sales experience in the technology industry. He has a background in various sales roles, including regional distribution manager and field account representative, and showcasing his expertise in strategically growing account bases and increasing customer revenues. He's great at building profitable client relationships, focusing on solving their needs and keeping strong, lasting connections. So, Eric, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. I'm a big fan of the podcast as well. So,
I love that. Getting more fans on. This is good. So let's start on the whole, electronics industry and manufacturing. You know, what's your passion about this industry?
Sure. I think this industry I've been in for about 15 years now. I was not an engineer or anything coming out of college. So I was just reading a recent report that they said 52% of people are not using their college degrees that they went for, and that would be myself. So yeah. I guess that's the millennial perspective that I'm taking on this one. As far as the industry itself, I think it is a great industry to be in. I'm really passionate about where it's headed, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A lot of what we have been working through in the past 20 so years, you know, since I started in 2007. So my kind of start to the industry was post the dot-com bubble, you know, right in the middle of the Great Recession and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think we've gotten through some of the challenging times, and now we're into this new realm of AI, robotics, you know, industry 4.0, that type of stuff. So
yeah,
I think it's growing. I think we're heading where it's becoming a lot of the systems that we're using now was being upgraded. So along with all the people, you know, that's the one thing from listening to this podcast, from being in the industry, it's generally the people. And it was funny because I actually reached out to one of my friends who is no longer in the industry to ask about, you know, what any thoughts or anything like that. And she mentioned, you know, the one thing, the big thing that she really did like was the people. And that's what she always. So yeah, I'm I guess that's where I'm at with it. So,
but you like it? That's why you're
I
here,
do.
Right?
Yeah, I think it's getting better. You know, I think we're getting more diverse. I think there's a lot more opportunities that are coming up for different people, different backgrounds, and things like that. So, you know, I think the future is bright for this industry, and I think that we're headed in the right directions.
Oh, that's good. So I want to talk a little bit about the generations, because now that you're touching on it, that as well, right? So how do you see the younger role of you know, what's going in the industry? How do you get off as a rocket and actually succeed within this industry when we're looking at this younger talent and younger generation coming in?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's I guess I would be considered an elder millennial or on the older side of the millennial age range. I was looking at it, preparing for this is kind of look at, you know, there's the boomers, Gen X, Gen Z, and then there's millennials right in the middle there.
Yeah.
And we've been kind of, I want to say not pigeonholed into certain, you know, views about us and things like that, but I would say that, the time now, like when I first started, it was very much a challenge to move up or, you know, it was limited, I guess, the scope of what you could find to do, you know, and now there's a lot more. That's what I find now is that there's a lot of jobs available now, and it's not just sales. It's not just, you know, those titles that we hear coming out of college and things like that is like, what do you want to be? I want to be a salesman or I want to be a doctor, whatever it is. You know, now it's like there's product managers under the marketing groups. There's several different, you know, types of titles that you could go for. And I think that for the younger generation, what what they're looking for is, I think, opportunity.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're all looking for, honestly, is when we're trying to find our way in your career is what is even out there. And that was one of the things that kind of got me is I didn't know what was even available to go do, you know? Yeah. And now as you're seeing it, there's like the different groups when it comes to data analytics, and, you know, we work with several different people, you know, different companies, and they have their own thing that they're presenting to us, you know, to try and improve the business. That's what everyone's kind of going through right now. As I'm talking about the changes in the business, is everyone's kind of upgrading their platforms, upgrading their systems.
Yeah.
It's been kind of the slow moving, you know, thing since I started. And even in my first job at Avnet, that was one of the things that I worked on, was like their new quoting system, you know, as they were going, converting from those 80s style, you know, the IBM's black screen with the green lettering and stuff like that.
And the
like
fax
that.
Machine, no.
yeah, totally. So even when I started, people used to fax us, you know, I used to go up to the fax machine in 2007. And that doesn't seem that long ago, but that's how people did business, you know?
Yeah. Your kids will be like, what are you talking about? No.
I don't, you know, who knows what we're even going to do in 10, 15 years, 20 years. Yeah. We used to talk about it in 20 years from now or 30 years from now. Now it's like 5 years from now, you know, with how fast things are going. So that's kind of where I feel like the millennials are kind of having our impact, is we're going to be that bridge, you know, between the boomers and some of those people who are, you know, approaching retirement, things like that. And then the Gen Z and the Gen Alpha is the one, I guess, for, you know, the people born in 2015, 2020 timeframe. So, you know, I think that's part of our thing is, you know, in millennials, I guess, is just early adoption of technology and, you know, the internet and growing up on the internet and things like that. And, you know, I think that's where we're going to have a role to play, honestly, is as I'm dealing with younger people now. You know, I used to be the only young person. I used to look around and say, hey, who else is here for me to work with, you know, in 20 years? Yeah. Now a lot, you know, there's definitely more of us, you know, in the industry. And it's nice to get together. You know, we joke and high five each other. Hey, millennials, you know, like in our industry for a long time, it's been very similar people of a certain age, you know?
Yeah.
So now it's funny to,
it's opening up, right? Joke. And when,
yeah.
What about communication? Because I think that's one, right? Every generation has as well, you know, how they want to be communicated with. If it's, is it on the phone? Is it the email? Is it the text? If you're using Team, right? Is it in Teams? If you then talk within your own company, you know, how do you, what's your style? And how do you see, you know, what's the future bringing?
Well, I'm finding more, it's funny because, I find myself on group texts, right? We have group texts with your friends, with your coworkers. Then you have Slack channels that people do Slack. And, you know, I talk to people via Slack. Then you got Teams and you got that. So it's kind of the communication for sure nowadays is just everybody has, there's a way to communicate with people. I have people through LinkedIn, you know, you'll have LinkedIn messaging, Facebook messaging. It's like, it's kind of crazy how many there are.
And there's so many platforms, right?
Yeah. And the platforms, like, so I've had to kind of limit myself as far as platforms. Like, I don't have TikTok. I don't have, I really don't use Facebook all that much anymore. I for communication purposes, like all the apps, I really just stick to text at this point. And, you know, that's the thing is, I think depending on who you're talking to, some people really just like email, you know, and I find email has its own place. Then I think text has a separate place, and kind of depends on what the communication is about. You know what I mean? With meeting schedulings and things like that versus, hey, I really need to have a proposal presented to me. That's more of an email versus like, hey, can we talk about this? Maybe a text to set up the meeting, you know, something like that. But it really depends. And
you need to navigate all of them, right? That's
right.
That's where we are.
The original phone call is kind of going by the wayside now for some reason.
Yeah.
But
Who leaves a voicemail, right? It's not happening, right? It's only the doctors, right? And the dentist.
Yeah, that's true. And now I'm even seeing my phone's, it's writing out the voicemail as it's being left, which is kind of crazy to me. So now I'm like, okay, so now I have a text of the voicemail.
Yeah. One more. You need more storage now. No.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I think replacing talking to people in long form or however that is, or over the phone, getting people's voice, I think is really that's what we lose. We lose is the, what is the point that people are trying to get across versus just reading the text. You could take that in so many different ways via text. Yeah. And that's what is probably hurting communication these days, is too much texting at this point, not just pick the phone. But I really do at this point where we go, if you send me 3 emails or if there's an email chain going on, I have to be the person to ask, like, okay, can we just answer the phone? Can we just talk this through real quick? Because usually you can get stuff done in 5 minutes via talking.
Yeah. Instead of back and forward, right?
For the whole day. You can spend the whole day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then if somebody's adding even more people, right, to that email, you're like, we need to stop this.
Yeah. And that's, I think, to the point about the younger generation, they're, I think it's, and it's not even, it's just how they're being marketed to now with a lot of the apps and things like that, is just quick, know? So it's a lot of like really quick interactions that they just happen. And then where the thought comes in, I think, is when you have to take some time and sit back, Yeah. So that's what I prefer that versus, quick text.
Yeah.
I don't text all that much in comparison to some people. So
I think it's funny because I think a few years ago there was like, oh, emails are dying, right? It's going away. But I'm like, I think everybody is sitting in front of their computer, right? When they get up in the morning, at some point they are checking, okay, what's the email? Anything burning, right? That I need to jump on. And then you get, start your day.
So yeah.
I think they're dying. But it's just flooding more with stuff that you don't need. That's what's happening.
Yeah. There's a lot more tasks and there's a lot more things being, dropped in your plate. But it's how you manage your desk is honestly, we've been heading towards this. And I think the pandemic kind of sped everything up, when everyone's sitting at home like that for however long and everyone's in the same time, like we're all getting up, we're logging in and everyone's doing the same thing all at once. Whereas I remember pre-pandemic, it'd be like, if you could catch someone who was going through, jumping from meeting to meeting to meeting, and they're out in the field, they didn't have Teams to get on, or it was like you had to get them on their phone and that was it.
Yeah.
And same thing. So there's much now the expectations I think have changed as well about your availability and, hey, I'm going to jump on this quick meeting and it's going to be a Teams meeting and send me the link and we'll all log in. Whereas it used to be a little bit more, I think there was a little bit more leeway and a little bit more of, the transit time to get to places. You did have to go more places, And now we're having this meeting right now where we might have pre-pandemic.
Now you just need to have Wi-Fi the whole time, right? And have you can jump in and be part of any conversations. So how do you, with all this, right, bombarding different platforms and how do you stay organized? Because there's a lot of information, a lot of platforms, a lot of communication.
I would say that I try and use my calendar as best I can, and I try and build in time for task-based things. I have a lot of, tactical, task-based, timeline-driven things that I need to get done.
Yeah.
And then you have some more big-picture type things and projects that you have to work on as well, and then you got to get in front of the customer as well, So you really have to... plan your day, plan your weeks, and plan your months at this stage, and I've really over time, tried to build in that time to get some of these things done. And, there's different ways that people do it. Everybody's got their own ways. Some people are more tactical, like they can sit in front of their computer for 8 hours. I really can't sit in front of my computer for that long. So I try to sit down and get it all, bang it all out. And then, I try to move to the more, I try and prioritize based off of, what's going to grow the business, and that's kind of, I think, what you have to take. It's like, what are we actually doing to grow the business? Because to your point, you get bombarded with a lot of things that are not value add. I always think of like, what is value add for the customer, for myself, for our business, and try and focus on that stuff as much as possible versus being bogged down with the,
you can sit and waste your time, right? On deleting so many emails that it's just a pitch or a cold email where you're like, come on, right? Just, it's wasting my time.
And I don't always immediately delete those ones because as I'm finding, I just recently completed like the Northwestern Kellogg's Business School mastering sales. And one of their, one of the modules, it's a 10-week program. And one of the modules is, cold calling.
Yeah.
And when I started my career, a lot of what I started was just answering phone calls and just sitting at the desk and being in the call center and answering a lot of different random calls. And then, you know, as I progressed to outside sales, I kind of had to like go out and start with people that didn't know who we were. And so it was a lot of cold calling, you know, and I still give those people a lot of credit for, and just to even send the email, you know, and some of them are AI generated and things like that. You can kind of tell at this point, but I like to see what people are sending me, even if it's, and I get a lot of them because on LinkedIn, I'm the distribution manager.
Yeah.
Which is really for more of our, just, I manage our distributors, like our distribution network.
Yeah.
Versus like the logistics center. And people think I'm more in logistics.
Oh, so you're getting a lot of pitch on that.
Can I ask you about your freight costs? Hey, can I help you with your freight? Are you seeing a lot of that? I have nothing to do with that, but maybe if somebody hears this, they'll know that that's not what I'm about.
You are not that person. Okay, good. I look as well at some of the ones, right? Because I do a click on a few and saying that was really clever made, right? But it's, for me, it has to bring some kind of value. The one that's just asking, can we have a 15 minutes meeting, right? I'm like, that's, what are we going to talk about? That's 15 minutes of my life, or maybe it's 30 minutes you're asking, right? That's not how we start to build a relationship to find out, can we work together? Is there any value? You know, what's the proposition? All that. So it's, but the ones that I do click on, as you're saying, it's, you know, you can get inspiration on how how they're doing it, right? And then you can actually copy or get that inspiration for yourself.
Yeah, and a lot of it is, do you know someone? Like, are you a friend of a friend? You know, it's like in regular life. You know, we do business to business sales, but in real life, you don't. Very rarely are you walking up to a complete stranger and asking.
Yeah, right.
So
in the grocery store,
at least if you know, hey, I I don't even know if it's like through LinkedIn or however it is. Like, I think the networking events are really, you know, even more crucial nowadays. You know, whereas those events were kind of I don't know if they were getting stale at some point, but now it's like you really, you know, you need to be a part of those and introduce yourself and meet a lot of people, and because you never know who you're going to meet that you need to do business with, you know. So I like networking, and I think networking with people is still king of all of it. So
it's powerful. Want to talk about your role as a distribution sales manager. So what's some of the biggest challenges you have faced in your role?
So I've been with us with EBM PAPS for 8 years. I just celebrated my 8-year anniversary, and it's almost like two jobs, because I started in 2016, so it was pre-pandemic, and that was a lot more of, you know, travel and getting used to traveling up and down the East Coast, where I had not previously done that, and, you know, making my flights and booking my hotels and being on time to places when you gotta go, you know, 3 hours to each way and things like that. So and then now post-pandemic, it's really just dealing with the supply chain. I found during the Great Recession, I wasn't really playing a role in that. I was kind of just there and doing as best I could. And now with the supply chain challenges of 2020, 21, 22, it was like I was much more involved, I guess, in that period there. So dealing with that, you know, trying to support your customers when there wasn't a lot that you could really do for them at that point, and I think we made a focus on not hiding, you know, and really, like, you know, dealing with the problems that were in front of us. And so that's been the most challenging thing, I think. I think now in the hybrid role and coming out of post pandemic and figuring out where we are now, now we're dealing with, you know, we go from not having any parts, now having too many parts, and, you know, the economy itself, you know, we're dealing with a lot of the macroeconomic things right now. So I think that's been, you know, challenges, but these are all like good challenges, you know what I mean? So these are all things that as I grow, you know, in my career and as a person, you know, as I get older, I'm trying to tackle these things head on. It's all just more experience, and, you know, you're gaining these different things that you can go forward with in our career. So it's been a very it was like a fast 4 years, you know, since 2020, but it's also like, that was really 4 years ago, you know? So
yeah, right.
You know, getting back up to speed with like the timing of everything is kind of a challenge, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with this industry, right, there will always be disruptions of any different types, right? Yes. So it's not that you can sit back and saying, oh, I got it now, right? I've totally, you know, don't need to do anything specific. You need to be ready to adapt and to change. If it's a digitalization that you're doing right now, right? There's always something that will be thrown at you, and you need to be able to adapt to it.
Definitely. Yeah. It's not when, but if, you know, or not if, but when, you know, so.
Definitely. So there's a lot going on in this industry, right? Now disruptions, or if it's the AI or with the robotics, you know, so how do you stay updated with the latest trends and technologies?
So being the distribution manager, I'm very fortunate because we have world-class distributors, all of them, and they're all doing great work to provide insight and information to our customers and to the suppliers. So usually whether it's, you know, we don't have TTI actually, but like I used to work at TTI and I follow a lot of their market eye updates. Sager has some great stuff that they post on LinkedIn. I follow a lot of people on LinkedIn, you know, in our industry. Yeah. So everyone's constantly posting about market trends and new products and things like that, new organizations that are happening. So really it's just, and that is a noticeable change, I'll say, over the last 5 years or so, people getting on LinkedIn and really using it as an opportunity to like be informative to the customers, things like that. So I really like that. I listen to podcasts and things for more macroeconomics and things like that, and trying to understand where we're at with Federal Reserve interest rates and understanding, you know, I like to understand what is causing different things to happen, you know what I mean? And a lot of it comes down to market rates and you know, interest rates and things like that. So where is the money being spent? You know, that helps us be forward thinking, and how do we plan around that? So a lot of that type of stuff.
That's good. No, so I love LinkedIn as well. I think everybody knows that, but it's a great platform because it's more professional. It's not that showing, you know, it's not the Facebook, right? It is more business, and it's more. I just like that platform and what's happening on it. So same like you, right? It's how you get a lot of good information, and there's good newsletters there as well.
Great newsletters, and I learn a lot through even like following some of the AI, like, you know, whether you're following Google or whoever else, like I'm very interested in AI and how that's going to play a role going forward. Now that it's, you know, ChatGPT has kind of laid out the groundwork for, hey, this actually works, and you know, there's ways to use it, you know. So that's going to be the challenge, the question, I guess, over the next however long is going to be, how are you using AI? What can you use AI for? Because I'm kind of an old school Excel person, you know, I still use Excel all the time, and I think it's still a valuable tool. But as I'm looking at AI and all the different ways that it can kind of speed up some of the processes that we have, that's generally what I'm looking at right now, is how can we, you know, in our industry, we're either going to go from like 80s, 90s technology to 2020 all at once, or we're going to have to do it, you know, gradually. And I'm trying to use a lot of the technology that we have right now just to improve our, whether it's Salesforce or things like that, just to improve our visibility and use our improve time to market and all that stuff. So
take advantage of it, right? There's so many tools, but you can also drown in too many tools. You need to make sure that there is the integration, and then you need to make sure that you're everybody in your team or your organization are using it properly.
That is
always the weakest link.
Great point. That is a great point. You can become really bogged down with the technology, you know? So,
And you always have to clean up data. I don't think there will be a point where you're like, oh, we caught up.
that's what I'm finding, is there's a lot of data out there, and you know, that's probably one of the biggest changes that's happened since I started, was the visibility of the data, you know, and talking to people that you know, were selling in the 90s, where it was, you would just walk up and they'd ask you what the price was.
Yeah.
And then you'd give them a random price and they'd just give you a PO for it, you know, and nobody had the market price, you know, and now it's, everything's online. And I think that as that has happened, some people have taken that as, oh, this is a negative. But I think that having, what I'm finding is that we're competing against Amazon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we are all, and as new people come into the industry, this is one of the things that I think has been a topic and kind of a theme of your podcast and the different discussions is, hey, where are all the new people in our industry and how do we retain them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think understanding that they're starting with buying process of Amazon, which is, I need it. How fast can I get it?
Tomorrow.
And the price is, you know, a negotiated price kind of, you know, and that's where we kind of, that's the difference in our industry is we can negotiate pricing a little bit more, but speed to market, or not speed to market, but speed to the customer, you know, how can we process these orders and get the parts to the customers faster?
Yeah.
And the supply chain and COVID and all that stuff really just kind of showed everybody where I never thought that I would get to this level of knowledge as far as like the global supply chain was concerned, you know, like prior to it was just like, oh, I know that we do business in China, but I don't know how the ports work and all that stuff. And
then now you know.
You're waiting for things at the port and you go, okay, I know where the ports are at least, you know.
Yeah. And
I think that that's going to be the challenges, you know, I continue on in this industry and meet newer people and try to explain different things of why does it take so long to do certain things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's going to be the question. That is the question that you get a lot. Yeah. Is like, why are we doing this way?
Yeah.
And there's a, you know, some of these companies that we work with have been around for 60 years, you know, 800 years, 120 years for some of them.
Yeah.
And so you end up with, you know, a lot of the data and the things like that are not readily available as you would think they would.
Yeah.
And that was what got me when I first started. I was, why is this taking so long? Or why are we doing it this way? You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to have to figure out as I deal with other people is like, you know, this is why we're doing it that way, or this is why we've changed from doing it that way. And it's continual, you know, it's continuous.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's continuous improvement, right? How do you motivate or inspire your team members? Because now that you're, you know, gaining a lot of this information, if it's, you know, just staying on top of, you know, different updates within the technology or the industry, but also if you're changing, right? If it's a process, or how do you internal, you know, keep everything going? So how do you motivate your team?
Well, I think it's making sure that we're identifying like the purpose behind it. You know, if you don't have a strong purpose for why we're doing something,
yeah,
it's very hard to get buy-in for that. And
yeah,
a lot of it is, how are we adding value to our business? How are we helping our customers get what they need faster? And a lot of them, you know, I'm fortunate to work with a lot of people that are highly motivated themselves. So there's not a lot of like rah-rah type stuff. It's more just, how do I get, you know, how do I take this seemingly, you know, tedious task off their plate and get back to the meat of what we're trying to accomplish, you know? And that's what I think everybody really, you know, or that's what my focus is, but I think that's what everybody's trying to do is complete the big stuff, you know, and value add stuff. So, you know, that's what I'm focused on. That's what we're all focused on, and keeping the noise to a minimum, you know?
Yeah, that's good. So if there was like a new one, right? It would just going back to the generation. So like a Gen Z, right? Starting, what advice would you offer somebody that's starting within the industry?
I would say definitely be open to mentorship, I guess. That's what I find is that the mentorship piece of our industry has grown and evolved and is becoming probably the biggest part of helping people advance their careers, helping them advance their knowledge set, and being more, being better at your job, you know, like that one thing, you know, when you first start out, there's a lot coming at you. And I think that one of the things that I've been trying to figure out as I've been kind of pondering this question about how do we get more people into our industry is I think that it is a very engineering heavy industry, you know, and a lot of it is technical knowledge and things like that. And I'm wondering, how do we either lower that barrier of entry? Because a lot of it is, you know, technical, and you go to a sales training as a non, you know, I went to school to be an English teacher. So yeah, communication and learning was more my thing. But when I'm asked to question about a specific capacitor or something or a connector, you know what I mean? Like they call it like, you know, knowing enough to be dangerous, but like, that's what I wonder about is there a way that we can lower that where you don't have to be as technical maybe, or is that a barrier that's causing some people to get in and then go, yeah, whoa, this is way too technical for me.
Yeah. It's like so, too narrow of a funnel, right? To get into the industry.
Yeah. I mean, cause there's, and you know, in our industry, there's people that are specialists at certain products,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, they know everything about that one product, but then if you ask them to go off the board or go somewhere else or talk about something else, it's like, I don't know about that, all those people.
Yeah.
So I guess my recommendation to a person coming in would be like, don't try to know everything. Don't try and make it a, you know, knowledge contest. Just try and know who knows everything, you know? So be the person to connect people, you know, be a connector person, you know, to the knowledge experts, I guess. And that's what people used to tell me too, you know, they said, you don't have to know everything. You just have to know who to call.
Who to call. Yeah. So, yeah. And be honest, right? So when you do talk to customers and they ask you, just saying, I don't know, but let me find out. And then you actually come back with the answers.
Yeah. And learn as much about your customer. If you're a salesperson, learn as much about your customers and what values they have, because every customer generally has a website and they like to post about us, you know?
Yeah.
We like to be the leader in this, the leader in that, the quality leader in this. Yeah, everyone's a leader in something. So it's like, but why wouldn't you want to be the leader, right? Like,
yeah, no, you do want.
You're building a product. You want to be the best at building that product. So ask the customers, you know, about themselves, you know? Yeah. I was listening to Don Akery's podcast with you, and he was talking about when you first meet, go on a date, you don't try and kiss the person.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, that's one thing as salespeople that we like to do is, here's all my features and benefits. Yeah. Buy from me. And I'm still guilty of doing that. You know, when I go too fast, I still send emails like that. Like, oh, man, I gotta like
slow down.
Wish I had that one back, you know? But that's the thing is like, look for your mentors, look for like-minded people.
Yeah.
Reach out to them, be upfront with your bosses. This is one of the things that I think I was pretty upfront about. You know, I wanted to be in the field.
Yeah.
And I remember the challenge of going from inside sales to outside sales with no experience.
Yeah.
And I had to push and push and push. And you just have to ask, you have to keep going. Like, don't get frustrated. Don't get, and it's one of these things that I used to always say, like, you just need one yes. That's the one thing, like, if I could give myself that piece of advice is you just need the one yes.
Yeah.
I interviewed with 8 different people.
Yeah.
For my second job, you know, and had I gotten frustrated after the first or second one, I wouldn't have got that job that changed my life, you know?
Yeah.
And you get the one yes can change your life. So like, just keep going, you know, keep trying. Cause what it comes down to is.
Yeah. I'll continue.
Well, just we're moving parts, you know, that's what we're doing. We're moving parts from one warehouse to another warehouse in the most efficient way possible for the people who need it most, you know, that's how I describe it. So what you do with that is really more about yourself progressing and getting better at certain things, whether it's communication, organization, whatever. Like that's one thing about what I've always tried to do is find jobs that I'm not necessarily the best at, but offer me the opportunity to develop skills that I don't currently have, whether it's organization or setting meetings, you know, like I don't throw a lot of parties, but I think setting up meetings has been one of those things where I have to get people together, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's something that I am forced to do in my career. Whereas at home, you know, I'll show up to all the parties, but like, I'm not probably not throwing it, you know? So I don't know.
No, that's good.
That's how I try and do it.
Yeah. So skill set, I like that, you know, getting the challenges, right? Because you don't want to hit a plateau. I don't think we're that kind of type of people, right? You want to set some expectations.
Especially in sales.
Yeah.
Especially
what, in sales. What's your latest, if you just, I'm just curious, what's your latest skill that you've learned?
Latest skill that I've learned? Maybe not project management, but definitely like trying to be a leader when it comes to different projects and things like that, and being cross-functional, I guess, whereas instead of just being with the sales team, I'm working more with marketing now. I'm working more with engineering and the quality departments. I always like working with quality because I do like to get into the details and things like that. Trying to understand the different groups and then add value from the sales perspective, which is what I really do like about my current job right now. So I get
it's a bridging everything together, right? That's also that's a good one. So maybe we touched a little bit, but I have to ask, you know, if you had to give yourself an advice like 10 years ago, so what will that be?
10 years ago, let's see, what would I say? I would say don't be so frustrated with being the, what do they call it, the boomer tech support type deal. That was one of the things when I first started, it was like, you guys don't know how to use Excel, or you don't know how to do this and you don't know how to do that. And I was probably more of a jerk to some of the older people that I was working with, you know, at the time. But it was like, I think that's a, you know, technology is changing so fast now that there's going to come a time where I'm probably going to need a younger person to teach me how to use one of these, you know, whatever apps or programs that we have and things like that. And just, I would say, just be a little bit nicer to people and be a little bit more humble, I guess, because I think I started a time, and I think it's probably still happening, as you know, I was having some conversations last week with some people about hiring, you know, and the thing that I kind of heard about was, you know, people are asking for way too much money, and you know, how do I start people, you know, when they have no experience at, you know, six figures and all this type of stuff. It's just crazy. And, you know, I think that the cost of college has gone up so much. Yeah. And I think to ask people to start at pay that I started at, it's unrealistic. And I think also there are different conversations being had about how to deal with the college loans. Yeah. And person starting in a company, you know, at one of our companies with $150,000 of student loans that they have to pay off, that's a big number every month that they have to start at. So it's not them being entitled, or it's not them being, you know, they want it, like, because that's been the thing about millennials, is that we're super entitled and we want everything now and that type of thing.
Yeah.
I think that it's more about desperation versus arrogance, or I know everything, or I deserve this. It's more like, hey, I have this number sitting in front of me every month and I need to pay it off. And I also want to be able to afford something to do anything, right?
Yeah.
And as we saw over the last 4 years, you know, inflation's gone kind of crazy.
Yeah,
so
crazy,
I don't envy the people really starting right now, but at the same time, I think like, there might be ways that we might be able to say, hey, if you work here for 5 years, or maybe the expectation of how long we want people in jobs, you know, I think is going to be, is a changing thing. It used to be 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, people are jumping after 2 years, and it's like, well, do they have to jump after 2 years, or is it just that they're being, you know, unrealistic in their career expectations, you know?
Yeah. So that could be a lot of factors in that.
Because that, I mean, that was a factor for me at one point in my life, you know, where it was like, I have to move, I have to find another job because I need to make more money. And I wish it wasn't like that, but, you know, money's money. So, you know, you have to do what you got to do sometimes. So while you're doing that, I would say, so yeah, to kind of give myself more, would be understand the different jobs that are out there and don't pigeonhole yourself into one job. Like, I have to go get this job.
Yeah.
Because I probably could have done a sideways job to some other department, or, you know, some other company that's not even selling components and things like that. But I just didn't really know, you know?
Yeah.
And now that I've kind of been able to get out and be in the role that I have now, I'm meeting so many different people and they're selling so many different things. And
yeah.
It's just, it's fascinating to me, you know, all the different aspects that there are to the industry. So
yeah,
it's been eye opening. So it's really, that's why I'm much more positive and bullish on the industry than I previously was probably 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
It's
easier to look back, right? It'll be, oh, I should have done that. But when you're in the middle of it, right? It either is like this mountain that you have to climb, right? Or if this is the, you know, your student loan or whatever, or it's your, you know, starting a family or buying the house. There's so much happening, right? But when you're a little bit past it, you're like, oh, it's easier to say, oh, I should have done that. Or you could say, hey, actually, I did really good, right? Because that's, I am where I am.
Yeah. And again, that's why I think the mentorship part of it, especially right now, there are some people, there are many, many people right now of the generation ahead of older than I am,
yeah,
that are really looking to give back to the younger generation. And you've had some of them on your podcast already. I know a bunch of them and they're all really looking for that. They're really looking to help and they're really looking to like help people figure out some of these issues that I just talked about.
Yeah.
In a more efficient way versus like people just spiraling or losing it, you know? And
yeah,
they're really sharp. They're super nice people and they helped me along the way. And, you know, when you're dealing with some of these problems, it's like you said, it's like, you can only see what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And then you deal with other people that are a little bit older than you and they actually want to help. And I was fortunate to have many, many people help me along the way. And because, but you also have to ask for the help.
Oh yeah.
That's the thing.
And sometimes like, that can't be, you know, sometimes it's not easy, right? But you need to ask. I think it's
you have to, yeah. You need to, you have to, and yeah. You have to be bold, especially yeah. The younger you are, you have, yeah. that's what I'm learning. It's the same thing with like investing, right? It's like when you're younger, you invest more in growth and things like that. You can be a little bit riskier.
Yeah.
The older you get less risky, right? And so that's the thing is when you're younger and you're 22, 23, 24, just go, like, that was one of the things that I did. I remember I used to just walk around Avnet and just, Gary Berg was this guy, he sat, you know, an industry legend, you know, sat in his corner office and I would just go mess with him, you know, and I'd say, Gary, what are you doing back here in your office, you know? And he would take me in and give me pieces of insight that would help propel me to the next thing that I wanted to go try and do. And it's just like, oh, I would have never known that if I just sat in my cubicle all day. And
I didn't talk to anybody. Yeah.
So, you know. There's many people that are looking to help and looking to provide insight to people. And so, but that this is the question about this younger generation is if everyone's on their phone looking at TikTok all day, do they have that ability to go out and ask?
Yeah.
So I'm challenging them right now. Like I'll be the older millennial guy saying like, get off the phone and talk to people, you know, but it's really, if you want to learn and you want to grow and you want to get that next opportunity, like you got to show that you're at least want it, you know, you got to show that you want it because they're not going to give it.
No, you have to do it. I like that. I also like with the whole mentorship, because I think it's a two-way street as well. So even if you do mentor, right, you also learn from that person you're mentoring. So it's a win-win for both.
Yes, for sure.
This has been amazing. So if some of the listener wants to connect with you, how can they reach out to you?
LinkedIn would be the best. Eric Gleason on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I check that more, like I said, probably more than Facebook or whatever. So don't try and Facebook me. I won't check it. And, but yeah, LinkedIn's great. If I see you at a, conference or something like that, and you hear this podcast, like feel free to come up to me and tell me that you saw it and I'd be more than happy to have a conversation. Cause like I said, I do like to talk. I like to talk to people. I like to understand people and get to know people. So longer form is better for me, so feel free.
That's good. Okay, and I'll make sure to put that in the show notes and also on the website episode page on leadershipinmanufacturing.com. So, Eric, this was fun. We like went all the way and all around. I really like to talk about all the generations because I think it's something huge and we just need to open our arms within this industry and get younger talent in and also learn from each other, from all the different generations. And one more thing I think I took in my note here is also the digitalization. Even though that you see some companies like ahead of the game, there's still a lot of companies within this industry that still are need to go in and do all this or just be part of this digitalization. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was great talking to you. Hopefully we can do it again sometime and have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you.